Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 19.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
Welcome back to Youth Ministry Sherpas. It is June 12th.
Episode and dropping.
Yeah. That's on only 12th. A few days until Father's Day.
Father's Day? Who cares about Father's Day?
What do you do for Father's Day?
The same thing I do every other Sunday of the year. Because who knows it's Father's Day, honestly?
Does anybody pay you any special honor on Father's Day? Your kids do anything nice for you?
I might get a handwritten card. Maybe.
Really?
If I'm lucky, yeah.
Handwritten?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you are special.
They're just too cheap to go buy anything, which I'm okay with because I kind of have a soft ban on Hallmark because I just feel like it's
they're ripping
a scam.
You off.
Yeah. So okay. My kids, they support my ban, so they make handmade stuff. It's nice.
Okay. I see how it works.
Yeah. But anyway, here we are. Yeah. June 12th, coming to you live from the nursery at Mountain View Community Church.
Yeah, it kind of smells in here, but it has the best view because it has this huge window out over the Sugarloaf Mountain of Maryland.
And it has
the Sugarloaf.
The
Mountain.
Sugarloaf. And it has great acoustics.
It does.
So here we are. And today we're going to talk about the Newbie Chronicles.
The Newbie Chronicles. Do you remember the very first day or week of your life at Cedarbrook Church?
I have vague memories of it. I do remember walking in on that first day, and even though I had been doing student ministry for 15 plus years at that point in time in two other churches, there still was that just great intimidation of, I don't know anything, and I don't know anyone. I mean, right. I met these people on an interview 3 months before, and then here I am walking in.
First day in the job.
All of a sudden, I'm part of the team. Even though they don't probably even remember my name. Well, maybe they remember my name.
Did you have like an orientation or anything? What did you do?
Honestly, I think the first day that I was there, I was at the church for about an hour, and then we had a staff meeting.
Okay.
And so I went kind of right into the staff meeting. Of course, they're talking about stuff that, you know, I have just no context to. So I just felt like I'm just sitting there. And one of the first items on the agenda was, okay, now that we got this guy hired, we need to start looking for a worship pastor.
I thought you were going to say they're going to start looking for your replacement.
No, evidently there were two open positions, and
okay.
So they wanted to get me on board and then say, now we'll look for someone else. Well, evidently the first day I was in the office was the day we were going to start looking for a worship pastor. So my first thing I did was help find a new teammate.
You were the first domino to fall.
I guess so.
Okay.
So what about you? What about your first day?
I'm trying to remember back to that. It was the church was still pretty new. We didn't have a permanent facility. So the church had just for the first time rented an office space. Because prior to that, the senior pastor, the founding pastor, was working out of his basement at home or his bedroom. And so since they now had additional staff, they had to get an office because I'm not going to go work out of his bedroom. That would be weird.
That would be super weird.
So they rented this office space in this 250-year-old historic Civil War era building here in Frederick. It's called the Landon House. And the place was super cool, but also super creepy. It's this big old three-story, like mansion-type house. Just smelled like it was built in 1700s.
Well, because it was built in the 1700s.
Yeah, there were mice running around. But it was cool. It was an office, and it was my first office.
Wasn't there rumors that the building was haunted?
There are more than rumors. There are YouTube videos that prove the building was haunted.
Really?
Yes.
So when you're bored out there, Google the Landon House.
Yeah.
On YouTube, and
you'll find some of the funniest ghost-busting videos you'll ever watch.
Please tell me one of those videos features you working in the office.
No, but I did come out of my office one day that first year, and I saw Andrew Jackson in the hallway.
A picture of Andrew Jackson?
No, it was Andrew Jackson in full costume. He was there for some reenactment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you were getting nervous there for
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, the Landon House was our first office, and we were trying to get that established, and it was kind of cool. We were there for quite a few years.
Awesome. Well, today we have two very special guests. on our podcast.
This is breaking new ground. We have live guests in the studio.
In the studio with us. We haven't done that since we interviewed Brock Morgan.
Is this a studio?
Well, I guess it's it's a nursery. There's a crib in the corner. We can't call it a studio. Yeah. Anyway, in our area here with our local network here, we have two young gentlemen who have recently started new positions, both of them less than a month.
Brand new.
Less than a month into student ministry. And so we thought we'd interview them today and get their thoughts on sort of the newbie chronicles on, you know, what it's like to kind of be new. So we've got Danny Jackson, who is the middle school director here at Mountain View.
He is.
And we have Fletcher Abbott, who just started as the high school director at Grace Community up the road from us, our good friend Eric's church. And Fletcher's been on the job for...
since May 1st, so as of this point, just a month.
Just a month. And Danny, your start date was?
May 16th.
A little over two weeks in?
Yep.
Whew.
So you can't get any more newbie than this. So you guys just came out of the womb pretty much.
Yeah. Danny, what year were you born in?
You sure you want me to tell you?
I'm rethinking the question, but go ahead. We're already down the road.
1995.
Lord have mercy. Steve, what were you doing in 1995?
I was working at a church. Yeah.
Yep,
I had two kids.
Huh. Yeah. I was
30.
I was 4 years into 30.
I was 30. I was 30.
Wait, Fletcher, how old are you?
I will be turning 30 in just a couple of weeks.
So Steve, look across the microphone. This is what you looked like when Danny was born.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I was married in 95.
Oh, really?
Yep, 95. June 3rd, actually 2 days from now. June 3rd, 2 days from when we're recording this, not when it's releasing.
Okay.
I was married in 1995. I was 4 years into, 5 years into my first youth pastor position.
That's insane.
And Danny was just filling diapers. Beautiful. Beautiful. Anyway, so Danny and Fletcher are here, and so we just wanted to kind of talk to them a little bit about kind of what it's like to be new in student ministry.
Yeah, we're sure that there are people listening to this that maybe are just looking for position or just coming into a new position and you're brand new, and we want to hear what it's like to be the new guy again, because it's been a while for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you guys got called into ministry, and what this is all about for you. So, Fletcher, you go first.
Well, I got called generally into ministry when I was a senior in high school. Went to a conference that we used to go to every year and have been wrestling with it for a while and decided from that time period, you know, God's called me to ministry, but didn't know what that looked like. It wasn't until my junior year in college, I was taking a generic 101 youth ministry class that everyone in my major had to take, and was just hearing all the experience from the pastor at the time, from the teacher at the time that was a youth pastor for years and years, and realized with everything he was saying, this is what I want to do with my life. He was so passionate about expressing the need, and that need became apparent to me of having more youth workers in the field, and that I had a select set of skills that God maybe could just use me for that.
Cool. How about you, Danny?
Starts at Waffle House.
Every good story starts at Waffle House.
Long story short, myself and a couple of my very good friends that I've known my entire life, we often venture to Waffle House once a month when we can get together. Most of the guys couldn't come, so we ended up going to Waffle House, just me and another buddy of mine who's a Marine now, who wanted to talk to me about working as an intern for Mr. Matthew McCabe. So I was majoring in special education and working at a hotel at the time, and wanted to come work for Matthew and learn a little bit. And God made it very, very clear through that summer, through Andrew Rollo, who's now the high school director at Cedarbrook, just the calling that he had on my life. And 3 years later, here we are.
So the crazy thing is, it's a very small world. So Fletcher is actually the son of the senior pastor at your church, Matthew.
That's correct.
And Danny is the son of the discipleship pastor at your church,
Matthew. That is correct.
So you're basically supplying all the youth ministry positions in Frederick County, which is impressive.
Well, you know,
that's very nice of you.
We're doing what we can. We're doing what we can.
We're coaching you guys.
We kind of have nepotism policies at our church, so I would have loved to hire either one of these guys, but sort of couldn't because their dads worked there. So I'm happy to share the wealth.
Okay. Well, we had Danny as our intern last summer, and our position came open, and we hired him. So thanks for pouring into him.
Yep, we're glad to have him out there. What about
if he doesn't work out? We're sending him back.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll take him. But then maybe his dad will be retired by then.
Is there like a 30-day money back guarantee on this one?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's how that works.
There should be.
What about the interview process? You know, so you both have this call into student ministry, and you go off to school, but then eventually you got to find a job. Then you both landed up in this area. So how did that happen? Like, what was the interview process? Any fun stories from the interview process?
Oh, man, yeah, I was not so much from the interviews. I really submitted my resume to Steve basically as a shot in the dark. I was like, you know, it'll help me get good experience.
A long shot in the dark.
Yeah, shot in the dark. Who in the world wanted to wait for someone to finish school? So I was like, you know, if he gives me an interview, it would be an honor. I'd get to learn some stuff and be better for the next time around. But I actually got the text from him when he texted me and said, hey, we want to interview you. He actually said, you said no joke. You're like, yo, we want to interview you.
No joke.
I was actually in class. I was on my phone in class, so that's strike one. But I couldn't focus the rest of the day. I was freaking out. I was like, oh, man. I was super nervous. I was excited, but I was super nervous. So,
it worked out. What about you, Fletcher?
They didn't want to talk to me at first, originally. They had already picked up
their... Well, they knew your father.
I don't know if you say help or hindrance.
I knew your old youth pastor.
Yeah, that too.
They had already picked their top five, and then I submitted my resume. And the guy that's not the discipleship pastor there saw my resume, the church name Cedarbrook Community Church, and realized that's where Matthew went. So he texted you at like midnight that night, said, hey, do you know this random person that emailed me? And Matthew said, sure I do. So they emailed me and said, hey, we'd love for you to come out here in person for an interview. Only problem was I live 4.5 hours away, and my wife was due with our third child any day. So I emailed them back and said, I really want to talk to you, but I don't think I can get out there right now. They were gracious enough to go ahead and set up in FaceTime. But my story of that church is really almost a mistrain for a lot of reasons, but... It all worked out.
So it's quite an adventure.
What's the weirdest question you guys got asked in an interview? Like the NFL Combine, you know. Those really random questions. If you were to murder someone, what weapon would you use?
Please tell me neither of you got that question.
Not in the actual interview. Well, they asked, this is actually a fantastic question, but they asked me if I had any questions about what it was like working for you, and you actually left the room.
Oh, yeah,
You talked with them.
What did they say?
Are you sworn to secrecy?
You're sworn to secrecy. I never heard the response.
What happens in that room stays in that room.
Signed a contract.
Oh, man.
But that was a good question, good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember any weird questions or good questions?
They're questions for me, because on paper I was kind of an odd duck. I had had a previous ministry experience, worked at a church for a couple of years, and then I went back and got my master's, and I got my master of divinity in church history. So I looked like this weird kind of guy on paper, and it was more comical to like see them ask questions where they really wanted to basically ask, why the heck did you choose that? But they were trying to figure out how to ask it really tactfully. So it's not like, tell us.
Yeah. It's not exactly the normal path.
Right,
ministry.
Right. I made it work. But their questions, it was more comical to try for them trying to figure out how they were trying to ask what they really, really just wanted to bluntly ask. What the heck were you doing?
Yeah, what were you thinking?
So
that's a legitimate question. Yeah. The whole youth ministry is focused around church history. It makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Kids love history.
Nothing reaches a seventh grader like church history.
It's transformative.
So you got the job, right? Do you remember where you were when you got the phone call or the text message or the, I don't know what, how you were notified. Do you kind of remember where you were and kind of what was your reaction when you found out, like, holy smokes, I just got this job?
Holy what?
Holy smokes.
Oh, okay. Making sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a text from Steve in chapel.
Well, you're on your phone in chapel. So on your phone in class, on your phone in chapel. No.
Chapel. It's a five rate. So I got a text from him. He said, hey, do you have a second for me to call you? And so, of course, my mind starts racing. I'm like, either he's going to call me and say, what were you thinking? You really thought you had an opportunity at this? So I ran out and waited by my phone for a couple minutes. It was like probably 10 minutes. He didn't call me yet. So I walked back in. As soon as I get back in the door, my phone starts ringing. So I run out and have a seat on the bench. And so he called me. He's like, yo, how do you feel about coming to work for me? And so I was super excited. I texted Matthew and Rolo. Texted Irvin, who's a guy that leads the college ministry here, and called my fiance. I was like, hey, I'm gonna be going to Mountain View now, so if you want to come with me? And she was super excited. So
That's awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah, I remember making that call. That was a fun call to make. Not nearly as fun as the calls I made to tell people they didn't get the job.
No, those are less fun.
That was more fun.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. Gosh, that was brutal.
You're heartless.
No, that was hard. I'm not good at that.
Yeah. Fletch, what about you? Do you remember where you were when you found out?
It was kind of a twofold, because I got the one call saying they wanted me to come back because they brought me out twice. We couldn't do it all in one trip. But the second trip, they were basically more of a, we already want you, we just want to make sure you want us kind of thing. But I was in work when I got that call, and I made a point to tell myself, I'm not going to look at my phone until I know I'm on break. And I broke that rule and saw there was a missed call from the pastor that had been interviewing me. So I called him back, and he gave me the spiel of, I want you back, to see if we can go ahead and sign on the dotted line. There may or may not have been tears, because work that day where I was at was absolutely awful. And then when I did get the official offer, I got the email late at night. I was checking my phone, woke up my wife. We were already, like, signed and everything. So we were, like, making plans right there in our bedroom that night and texting parents, and it was a very, very exciting time after a very long wait.
I bet.
Here's the great thing about hiring a 23-year-old who's about to graduate from Bible college. I call up Danny, and I just said, basically said, do you want to come work for me? And he didn't stop to say, I'm going to pray about it tonight, or let me just talk to some people and get back to you. He's like, yes, absolutely, I want the job.
I've been praying about that for a long time.
The pain was already happening for a while, though.
He had no idea what we were going to pay him or anything else.
Just said yes.
So we decided not to pay him. I don't know. Did you know that yet?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I found out yesterday. Yeah.
I'm glad you're still here.
Business admin gave you the news? Yeah. All right, great. So you got the job, you were excited, tears and happiness and texts and phone calls, and then it sinks in. I'm going to do this. Yeah. So what in those moments from when you got the job leading up to your first day, what were you most excited about?
Getting to do what I loved again. I mentioned I had already been a youth pastor for a couple of years before we kind of got pulled out of that with God suddenly, and then it was 5 years of not getting to do that. Not even really much on a volunteer basis with the job that I had at the time. The margin wasn't there. So just being excited to get to do what I had been training to do for so long and not feeling like just a rusty tool on the top of the shelf on the shed for a while. Like, it felt good.
You're just excited.
Get back in the game, yeah.
Man, I was the opportunity to come here, the opportunity to work for Steve, the opportunity to be close to you guys. It could not have worked out better. So I was excited about everything.
Just about everything. Just overwhelmed with excitement.
We're going to squelch all that excitement as soon as we can, but I'm glad you're excited, Danny. How about, what are you nervous about? You have to have some nerves, some fear, some trepidation about stepping into this. What is it that you're worried about?
Well, we will be doing a trip here with, you knew us.
Yeah.
With 50 plus, 52 kids, 52 students here. And, so we're still getting leaders together for that. We have a young core of leaders, which I'm excited about going, but there's also reasons to be nervous. Mm-hmm.
So how far out is that trip?
3 weeks.
Okay, yeah. So within the first 2 months of you being on the job, you're basically leading a trip with 52 kids.
Yeah, one of my bosses in the Caribbean.
Praise the Lord. For both of you, honestly.
I'm not going to be worried about his trip. What are you worried about it for? I'm going to be on the beach.
That's right, the Caribbean. Anniversary trip, right?
It is, yes.
Wow, it's good to have a 23-year-old youth worker who can pick right. up the mantle, right? Wow, what about you, Fletch? What were you nervous about?
Well, I also have a trip like Danny coming up here where it's going to be a new experience. And the guy that was used to doing it is on sabbatical, so I get to do that fresh out of the gate. So that's definitely some nerves. But I would say probably biggest nerves for me as I was getting ready to come out here is you can play in your head all the things that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the things where it's like, you know, did I read everything right in the interview? Did I catch any of the potential red flags that I was watching out for? All those things that you think could go wrong that aren't even like reasonable in your mind, but can just go through your head, especially when you've been in environments where you see things personally go wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's nerve-wracking. Thankfully, those nerves have so far proved to be invalid.
Just that.
And knowing both situations very well, and I say this really bluntly and honestly, you both have big shoes to fill. I mean, you're replacing a middle school director who, he's been gone now for 8 months, but he was very much beloved and he's very gifted, and you're replacing really a local legend who's stepping into a different position in your church. That's got to be a little bit... A little bit scary. Yeah.
A little overwhelming?
Yeah. They're both silent. They're like, yeah.
They're both like, wait, thanks for bringing that up.
What I'll say about that is, it's kind of funny because that was one of the things where they asked me, are you scared about the fact that, you know, this guy that's been doing this for so long is still going to be here?
Right.
And I said, I guess it could be nerve-wracking, but I'm more excited to have someone to pick his brain.
Sure.
And that kind of excited me. He's like, good, because everyone else has said they're terrified about that idea and they're not really thrilled about this guy being around.
Yeah.
Because before that, my position, it was they didn't have anybody. So they had these wild expectations about what it was going to be like to have someone there.
That were unrealistic
expectations.
Yeah. Right.
So at least, you know, I know that the bar is capable of being set, that they already know exists. So at least I know it's a bar that's achievable, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. So what was it like walking in the door first day on the job? Was it everything you'd always dreamed
it would be?
Nobody was there. Half the staff was gone, on a conference. So that was the day of...
You had the place all to yourself.
That was the day of learning all the passwords, just getting all of like the boring stuff out of the way, really. Like it actually wasn't like... It was a fun day. It was an exciting day, but not because there was a lot like... being done that day,
right?
Just because it was new.
Well, to go back to the last statement you made real quick, I actually I had the opportunity to serve as an intern for Pat, who is the middle school director here,
right?
Before, and so, and I had known him briefly beforehand, but the opportunity to know the guy a little bit that you're replacing is, I feel like, a strong advantage. I actually just talked to him this past week. And he just like, hey, if there's ever anything that you want some tips on or anything like that, feel free to reach out. So I'm assuming I listen to this. So
shout out Patrick
Curtis.
Yeah.
Love you, man. First day. Yeah. Just graduated college. Came in 3 days later, all ready to go.
Wearing your coat and tie.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Wearing graduation cap and everything. So I started on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday night, I was ready to roll, coming in at 9 a.m., got a text from, I had no idea. I was like, I'm going to go at 9. I think I'm supposed to be there at 9. I don't know. I knew Steve was busy, so I was like, I'll just show up and smile and walk to the back. I don't know.
See what happens.
So I got a text from him. He said, yo, are you good to come in at like 2:30 tomorrow to help set up for WOW, which is the middle school ministry? And I was like, I'll be there at 2:30. I'm going in at 9. I think he's like, oh, no, dude, there's no reason you have to go in at 9. And I was like, okay. So, like, the whole morning, I went to the gym and I came back and I just sat there. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to be there right now. So I texted Steve. I was like, hey, just an FYI. I didn't forget. Like, I'm coming in. I promise I'm coming in. He's like, you're good. He's like, I got a bunch of stuff going on. So you're good. So I came in at 2:30, met Jamie, who is the office administrator and our office manager, she was like, hey, here's your cubicle. So we walked back, and there's actually someone sitting in the cubicle. And so she was like, oh, hi. And then she just like went back doing the work, doing her work. And I was like, all right. So I just like put my backpack in there and walked out and walked to the youth room down the hallway. I was like, okay, well, tomorrow it is.
That's a little awkward. Somebody's in my desk.
Like, hey, here it is. Like, oh, how's it going?
We didn't tell you you were sharing a desk with somebody?
Yeah. So you're in a cubicle. Do you have a cubicle or an office, Fletcher?
We have a building of makeshift offices that we're in the process of transitioning out of because the house that we're staying in may or may not have been hit by oncoming traffic once or twice.
I've been in that house.
And it's time. It's nice.
It's kind of like standing in the middle of the road.
I mean, to be fair, like my section is really, kind of like the redone section because that was the part that was hit by the car.
Okay. All right, nice.
It's nice.
So, first month on the job, what are you thinking? Like, what's going through your mind? What is it that you want to, I don't know, what are you thinking about?
The other day, actually after Wednesday night, I was just reminded how thankful I am to have good leaders here, like good family group leaders, good small group leaders, adults who are passionate about students, and that is super important. And I think a lot of times you get in your own head or you get to the point where you think you can roll it on your own, but they're much more important, I think, in some ways than we are. So I'm very thankful for that. Thankful for the strong foundation that Pat built at WOW. So just starting out, there's a lot of gratitude, I think.
That's good.
Very good.
What are you thinking about?
Well, since he just gave all the flowery, nice answers, you know.
That's what I'm here for.
You're not thinking about, why is this person in my cubicle?
That's for another podcast.
Sounds like your answer might be less flowery.
No, not at all, actually. He just, then I'm going to feel like I'm copying him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
A lot of what's been running through my mind now is, okay, what's next? What needs to get done now? With where we're at within our church, it's a big period of transition. I am the new guy, but not by very much, actually. We have a new executive pastor. The middle school director has only been there since August. So it's a period where we're all kind of starting to get to know each other as a team all of a sudden and trying to figure out, okay, what is this really going to look like for us going forward? So that's kind of really been where my mind's at thinking a lot lately is how to get ready for this new journey that we're going to be facing next school year because the time for preparing starts
yesterday
really.
Right, honestly. Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, that's a good transition. So as you think about your first year, you know, okay, what do you want to accomplish in your first year? You know, what are some of your short-term goals? What do you know you need to get done here in this first year?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it really is figuring out the details of what our next year is going to look like. Up to this point, the youth ministry at Grace has all been meeting together, middle school and high school. And when they knew that they were going to be moving the youth pastor up into this discipleship pastor role, through that process, they realized this is really the time to go ahead and begin that split of middle school and high school, whatever that's going to look like. So that's why they got the middle school person. Now they have me as the high school person. So our goals are really mapping that out and starting to implement what that's going to look like. In some ways, there's a lot left to do in terms of mapping out some of those goals of what our vision's really going to be. And then beyond that, it's going to be matching with that goal, getting everyone on board with what those transitions are going to be and doing that tactfully and gracefully with these people that have been dedicating more years than I've even been out of college doing this type of thing. And really appreciating what they've been doing and getting them excited about what's next.
Yeah. Since I got hired and a little bit before that, I was just making just lists and lists of ideas, stuff to accomplish, stuff to... So I have quite a long list, most of which I do not think will get accomplished, but desires, goals for that. I'd love to get to know leaders, build some relational capital there. I want to make sure things don't get dropped in transition. Continue to grow, continue to learn.
Do you know what my favorite Starbucks drink is?
I know what not to get.
Because you're picking it up tomorrow. Because
we got to get the important stuff.
Got to get the important stuff.
I know they don't have it at McDonald's because we've tried.
All right, well, you've only been on the job for a couple weeks, each of you. You got some short-term goals, but having gotten your feet wet, what do you know you also need to learn in this first year that you maybe were not necessarily prepared for before you got into it? Thought you were prepared, but you're like, oh,
yeah, a surprise thing that you have already picked up on that you need to figure out.
I don't think we have enough time for that.
So a few things.
A whole another Sherpa Shorts series, I think.
Didn't they already have one about that? I think.
I remember.
Oh man, there's a lot.
I can go if you want.
Yeah, jump in there, Fletch.
There's going to be plenty of things as this goes on that I'm going to realize I'm going to need to learn and catch up on. One that I wouldn't just say it's a surprise because I knew I was going to need to learn as I get in here, but it was impossible to learn beforehand, and that is making the culture of the church part of my DNA. And basically what I mean by that is immersing myself in the culture they have here. Their culture is part of what attracted my wife and I to want to come out here, but now it's learning how to really be engaged within that culture the church has, because each one has their own unique DNA. And for me, it's really kind of figuring out, okay, now where do I fit now into that, into that new culture? And that's not something that school ever teaches me. Not something another church can really teach me, because that other church had their own culture too.
Right.
So it's more of like, okay, now this is who they are, this is what they're about, and this is how they do it. Mm. And now it's...
How do I fit in?
How do I fit into that mold? Okay. In an exciting way. It's very exciting things to be learning how to do, but not something that comes naturally at all, no matter how hard you try.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be getting married here, coming soon, to my beautiful fiance. And so getting married, starting a new position, there is a lot to learn. There's so much to learn, I don't even think I know where to start. I think I'd be wrong if I tried to take a guess. So I imagine that will be coming clear very, very soon. So,
Balan, all of a sudden going from being single in ministry to having a wife, there's a transition there that can't be taught, can't be learned in a classroom. It has to be just figured out.
Well, you have a similar challenge, and you didn't grow up in this church. So even though you did intern here, I think you have a sense of the culture, but you still have a lot of things to learn culturally about the church. And then just the first year of ministry as a married person, that's not going to be easy either.
But I believe in you, Danny.
So actually, that's why I
more believe in Courtney, so it'll be fine.
That's good. That makes two of us.
There you go.
So what would be helpful for you guys as newbies to receive from the church or from your primary leader, your boss? Like, what is it that you want and need as a new youth worker in your church to help you succeed?
I'm not sure if this is so much receiving from you as it is just a desire at starting somewhere new, but just connections. Connections for, again, just like we talked about, for myself and my soon-to-be wife. Connections with people our age, connections with people that have lived longer than us and are much wiser than us. Again, not growing up in the church, many of those strong relationships I'm leaving or not necessarily leaving, but moving away from at my previous church.
Mm-hmm.
And so just developing those relationships, which I know will come and I know God will provide, but that is a desire.
All of what Danny said and more, I would say on top of that, just that support system of not just the encouragement, but also that gracious, this is how you can improve, this is how you can do better. I think it's important for people like Danny and I first coming to church, and really at any point, as I'm sure you guys know too with how long you've been doing it, to always be learning and growing on how you can do better. And having the leaders that I'm under within the church being part of that process is vital. And also not being threatened when I get that help elsewhere as well too. And thankfully, where I'm at, they're not threatened by that. Eric, the discipleship pastor, even said, you know, there will be times where you might be calling up Matthew asking how he did something.
Cool, that's the last place you want to go.
And he said,
you should probably call Steve.
He said, come to me afterwards and clear it with me first.
Yeah. He'll undo it.
Because you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And boy, do I.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you one thing he will do, Matthew will do, is he'll make sure you don't do the lock-in anymore, because Miller's still doing that stupid lock-in. It's insanity.
Yeah, we're hoping
we're hoping
this is an opportunity for Grace to transition out of the 1990s and into a new world where we don't lock kids in the church overnight all night.
Well, I'm thinking of just locking them out of the building.
That's actually a better plan.
We also don't advance them, but that's an inside joke. We'll talk about that another time.
And Eric is now twitching again as he's hearing that part of the episode.
Exactly. And so here we are. We got Danny and Fletcher. 6 weeks of experience between them.
Yes. Stacked it up against our many, many,
more years than I'd rather count.
Yeah, 6 weeks.
Because it makes me feel old.
6 weeks.
You know, I was getting married when Danny was born.
Oh, my gosh.
Man. Praise the Lord.
Feeling old. Feeling old. Well, this is hopefully helpful to those who are listening today. Maybe you're in this position, and you're brand new to your church, or you're about to be new in your church, and you're thinking, what the heck did I get myself into?
Yep.
What could I expect?
Or maybe you have somebody coming on board in your church, and you're going to be the person that's going to help them make this transition. So hopefully there's some helpful stuff here, and we're grateful for your time, Fletcher and Danny, even though we didn't really give them a choice, did we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
They had no choice. But we're excited for your new journey. It's going to be a great, great thing. And the first month, the first year, they're awesome.
And terrifying.
Yeah. The honeymoon period will end.
But mostly awesome.
Yeah. So thanks for being with us today.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas. Hey, if you live in a state that begins with a letter after G, would you reach out to us? We're trying to feature a different youth worker in every state every Monday on Instagram, and we don't know people in every state. So, like, if you live in Montana or anything after G, reach out to us. Let us know. We'd love to feature you on our Instagram account. It's just a great way to give a little shout out and have some fun.
And speaking of that, make sure you get out to the Instagram and the Facebook. We'd love to hear from you, interact with what we're doing out there. And if you wouldn't mind, go into iTunes and give us a rating, a review. That just helped more people get in touch with the Smee Sherpas podcast.
Well, only if it's a good rating.
Yeah.
If it's a bad rating,
then don't do that.
Go to some other podcast.
Don't
give a name.
No. All right. I won't.
We'll send you stickers if you give us a good review. So that's your payment.
There you go.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas. That'll be episode 20. So.
All right. Anyway, so we'll be back next week with episode 20. Looking forward to it. But for now, Sherpas
out.